You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the APC podcast, coming to you from the Craig Newmark School of Journalism here in New York City with Amber helping us out engineering the show. It is Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and Zach Rapport. Interact with the show at the APC pod. There's plenty to talk about, and there has been plenty of interaction. What a week, guys. We finally have moved on from Mike McCarthy, and I, for one, am very sad because I don't think whoever they hire will be as easy to impersonate as McCarthy was. I'm pretty bummed.
Can we get one last McCarthy impression?
At some point during the show. Again, it has to come organically.
It's got
to
be
kind of like your J-Lo moment. Drop last week. But anything to talk about? I guess the
no,
loss
nothing.
Of the Cardinals
nothing to talk about.
Is not one of them. Although Mark Murphy seemed to be particularly hung up on that in his press conference that came following the firing of McCarthy, which happened on Sunday. Murphy spoke on Monday, along with Brian Gutekunst, who I don't believe was a part of the original plan to appear to the media, and then Joe Philbin talked as well, who is now serving as the interim head coach for the remainder of this season. But Murphy mentioned so many different times that loss of the Cardinals really drove it home. I think we all kind of knew McCarthy was gone. I think the loss of the Cardinals just made them kind of rethink the whole "there's no point in doing it mid-season" take. That they probably had,
yeah.
Which I would agree with. It was a pretty pathetic performance, I would say.
What was really being said there was that they made the decision much earlier that this was the last season.
Yeah.
And that loss was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Unacceptable.
Where did you hear that Gutekunst being present for that presser was
well,
not
originally
in the original
the
plan.
Media members were under the impression that that Mark Murphy was going to speak and Joe Philbin were going to speak, that there
gotcha.
Were going to be two press conferences. I don't know that it was originally announced as a Mark Murphy and Gutekunst press conference.
A little intrigue. That's interesting.
Yeah. And that's literally just from listening to radio on Monday morning and hearing Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin say, like, oh, yeah, we get Murphy today. And then I believe his co-host, Mark Tauscher, said, you get Goody? And he's like, no. He's not. We're apparently not going to be able to speak to him today. Hmm. And then he showed up. So wearing a matching suit and like the weird kind of hokey green and yellow, green and gold tie. I don't know. We got to like freshen him up a little.
I mean,
you're way too young to be wearing like team ties.
Yeah,
I think Gutekunst should be in a position to have more of a say. And I almost think...
Well, he and Murphy have a great relationship. That's something that apparently Murphy said so many times during that press conference that it made me not believe it.
Aaron,
I was like,
Aaron
what?
Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy also have a great relationship.
If you
and
have
that,
to
that
say
has been said
that,
time and time again.
If you have to say that your relationship is in a great place, as many times as Murphy, I think he said it during that press conference, like, how great is your relationship?
I just don't, like, what I don't get is, why are the Packers reinventing the wheel? Like, why are they coming up with this tripartite, like, Soviet bureaucratic nightmare
well,
on top of the organization?
To be fair, I mean, they're not the only organization that is run that way.
No, but they're the only organization that doesn't have an owner. And I've argued for years that that is an advantage. And Mark Murphy acting like an owner is not helpful. I do not think there's anything helpful about that.
But he's been around football his whole life, Ben.
Who cares?
I agree with that, Ben. I agree with that.
Like, what does Mark Murphy bring that someone who is on the football side of the operations, like, to me, it's like Mark Murphy's job is to placate the shareholders and develop Title Town and yada, yada, yada.
But he's hired many coaches
and delegate
some of them in football
and
man,
delegate
just dripping with sarcasm
that
today.
Responsibility to run the football part of the operation, which is fundamentally the root of the Green Bay Packers. Like
then,
Title Town is some bullshit. I do not care at all about Title Town. Granted, I don't live in Green Bay.
Okay,
but you know, I do not care about the Packers as a real estate company. In fact, I would like the money that I used to give to the Packers as a nonprofit organization on my tax returns in the state of Wisconsin. I'd like that money back because I, you know, if they're a real estate company, I don't care.
Sure.
If they're a football team, leave it to the football people to run the football team.
Well,
Ben's got takes.
That is a very, very good question that you pose. One that was asked of Mark Murphy, to which he answered with a lot of the sarcastic things I just said, that he's been around football his whole life.
Great.
So he is a football guy.
Yeah.
And that he's made a lot of coaching hires during his time as athletic director. All of that aside, Gutekunst is going to be involved. He just doesn't have the final say,
yeah.
Which is something that was made perfectly clear. So that question that we pondered last week on the show, well, are they going to change the structure after just one season? It seems like a big no, which also leads me to believe, is the coaching like structure going to change at all from the standpoint that, like, okay, Murphy will hire the coach, but he's obviously going to report to Murphy, right? So he's not even going to report to Gutekunst, which makes, I guess, maybe a more attractive coaching job? I don't really know.
Maybe.
Probably not, right? I don't really think that like, you're reporting directly to the fake owner who's operating as an owner is beneficial in any way. So yeah, I don't really know why they felt the need to do that. I don't like that. I'm not really down with the change in the structure. But I do feel good about Gutekunst making some good football decisions, which I think he's proven to do. And I think
Gutekunst, they feel good about. That's why I want him to have more power.
Yeah, you know? I think he should.
And I don't feel that great about Mark Murphy at the moment. Like, I don't. Why would I? Like, what am I looking at right now that is the fruit of the last couple of years of the whoever's been in charge of the overall direction of this team? What am I supposed to feel good about right now? And why would I be like, oh, these are the guys to fix it? The guys who waited, you know, years too long to put a transition plan in place in the first place. Like, why would I be like, okay, now they're on top of it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And also,
it kind of makes me just wish they got rid of Mike last year.
Yeah. Well, like, it just, you know, I think this event got in the way of what would have otherwise been the thing that we would be talking about. I mean, first off, we'd be talking about the Cardinals loss, but also the ESPN or the SI piece that came out last week.
Yeah.
Like that we were all passing around, I think Thursday night. And there was a lot in there about the culture, and the culture of the Green Bay Packers does not sound like it's been in a very good place for the last couple of years.
It sounds pretty sucky. Yeah, you're referencing, there was a Sports Illustrated piece that referenced like how the Packers
have backwards caps on the sidelines,
which was like the biggest, like, it's just like just stuck in my,
it's like, it's like, look at any winning team in the NFL right now, and they're not doing the George Steinbrenner bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, they're having fun. They have electric playmakers who they let act like human beings.
And then to hear someone like Jeff Saturday making comments about he could sense division between McCarthy and Rodgers when he was playing with the team, which was in 2012.
And he got let go before season's end.
He wasn't even good.
That,
I mean, whatever. Leave Jeff. I'm not even going to entertain Jeff Saturday. But I do think that the Packers culture has slowly turned into something grosser.
Right.
Over the last couple of years. And I don't know why I'm like suddenly pissed off about real estate stuff, but I think it's because the football product is bad.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
If somebody took their eye off the ball to build up all this other bullshit, like housing at Lambeau Field.
Right.
Like, I'm mad at that person. I don't care about that. Want a fucking football team.
Or at least you don't want that person also being responsible for football decisions.
No, because what this is it's like, this is more akin to like English Premier League, like weirdo stadium politics where your team is like, there's like so many other considerations. And I don't want that to happen to the Packers.
Sure.
All I want is a football team that I can watch on TV, win some games, and that's it.
That's so much to ask.
No backwards
hats. I don't
hats.
Want an indoor tailgating thing. I don't even know what that means.
I agree with everything you're saying. I do also want to offer, though, that I want to respond to some chatter I've seen about Mark Murphy being power hungry. I don't think that that is a thing that is necessarily happening. I think that, I don't know, people think that this restructure, this arrangement and the decisions that are being made are all in service of Mark Murphy, like consolidating power. This isn't a Game of Thrones thing. I think he legitimately just wants to do what he thinks is being a good executive for the team. I just really hope he's not making really bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like, that's the point, is that we shouldn't have somebody who's, you know, whether or not he thinks that he has earned that role by making a lot of money and buying a football team, or by managing his way to the top of a complicated bureaucratic like nonprofit structure, the Packers are good because one person can't fuck it all up.
Yeah.
And like owners can fuck it all up. And I don't want an owner. And I'm not going to make some like weird, you know, stupid claim like I am an owner. First off, I'm not. I didn't buy any stock. And second off, like I'm not an owner and I don't want to. I don't want an owner. Like the only thing that the Green Bay Packers should be concerned with is winning football teams. Like they're literally a nonprofit organization that is concerned with winning football games. And that's all I want them to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, I don't necessarily think they're like not really in the business of that. Like but also like all this weird culture stuff is like, that's just like overstepping.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that like the whole backwards hats thing is like a really like good example, but I also thought like some of the verbiage in there, like how they literally would like label, like this whole Packer way thing always talked about was like a real thing that they talk about, and they would like give grades and like bad labels on certain players because they talk to the media.
Yeah.
Like it makes it, I guess, it also like really puts in perspective like why they were so willing to make a trade of Demarius Randle, like what actually went wrong in a season that he was creating turnovers. But also like off of that, because Ryan just sent this to us. So like on Twitter, but I saw this before the show, like when we were waiting to get going here. If you're going to hold your players to these standards, but they can't talk to the media, do you just fire Winston Moss today?
Fuck that guy.
Oh, wait, speaking of which, did you see Brady Papinga responded?
Yeah, Brady Papinga gave a great response on Twitter. So Winston Moss, who was the associate head coach or assistant head coach?
Slash he the is the associate coach. Head coach.
Who got passed
Special
up on.
Special assistant to the head coach.
No,
passed
he's
up
associate.
On for the, I think it was the associate head coach, got passed up on for the interim head coaching job. So if you're like the next, if you're the associate head coach and your head coach is fired, why don't you get that job to begin with? Anyway, Mark Murphy would say they want to test it out, you know, with Joe Philbin calling the plays and everything because he's a legitimate candidate for this job. Please,
bullshit.
If they hire Joe Philbin, I think I might just like jump ship to altogether. But Winston Moss on Twitter, ponder this, ... What championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a hashtag Lombardi standard.
Shots
period.
Fired.
Hashtag losing sucks.
So wait.
What is the benefit of tweeting and talking shit about your own quarterback?
I'm not
at
even
sure.
Is he talking shit about Aaron? Is he talking shit about Mike? Like who's he really aiming at?
Is he saying that McCarthy didn't hold Aaron Rodgers to that
standard?
Well, that's
got to be by extension, that's got to be part of it, right?
Can we back up for a second and just say that this is the same Winston Moss who refused to talk to the media, resents the media, and then chooses this moment to fire off of his own volition on Twitter?
This is a guy who's just going down in flames,
what
right?
What did you expect from @insanekane99?
That is a little bit of a weird Twitter handle for a grown-ass man who's a associate head coach in the National Football League. Brady Papinga with a good response on Twitter. Second week in a row, we get to mention Brady Papinga's tweets after last week's whole thing about the hotels that got continually worse and worse as they lost on the road. The best way you're going to coach a guy like Aaron is instead of coaching him as a superior, you have to strike the balance of working with Aaron as one of your equals. But leading the team as the head figure, tough balance, but if done correctly, championships will be won. Yeah, exactly. Which leads me to the next thing I wanted to talk about that I feel like we need to get into, which was another big thing from the press conference. What kind of say is Aaron Rodgers going to have in the next head coach, and what kind of say should he have in the next head coach? So Mark Murphy would tell you that his door is open, but Aaron Rodgers is not going to be involved in this coaching
That
search.
Sounds like a line out of Office Space.
Yeah,
like, let's
it
just
was
call
annoying.
That what it is.
It
That's
was
not a great
annoying.
Look.
And like when people press Murphy, he kind of just like reverts back to this. Like he would just like look at Gutekunst. Like, you got an answer? You got an answer? I'm not going to get into that. We're not going to talk about hypotheticals. Like what? Dude, this is a very, very legitimate question. And I guess we got a legitimate answer. Aaron will not be a part of the process. But what does that mean? Like, does that mean that if you're narrowing it down to like two or three guys, you're not going to have Aaron talk to them, or you're not going to call Aaron, or you're not going to say like, hey, do you have an opinion on this? Wouldn't the smart thing to do be to make sure that your next guy doesn't fall into the same category of coach as the guy you just fired, primarily because things kind of fell apart with their relationship?
I think you and I, from based on what we were talking about before, are going to diverge on this.
Yes.
So you go first.
I mean, I think Aaron should be involved to a degree. I don't think Aaron should have a say. I don't think Aaron makes us hire.
Can I?
But I think, yes.
I want you to elaborate on involved to a degree. What you mean by that.
What I mean by that is...
He literally means Aaron take him to a lunch of bratwurst at the indoor tailgating extravaganza. No.
That's fine. I'm cool with that. I just think, okay, so my thing is, your next coach, right? Like in a time in the NFL where like your shelf life, if you're not winning, is probably what, 2, maybe 3 seasons. Like the way you're gonna win as the next Packers coach is to probably click instantaneously with Aaron Rodgers.
To be a partner with Aaron.
Or to hire somebody, if you're not an offensive guy, that is going to do that. Which then, if you hire this coach, right, that guy is going to make the hire and have total say over who is then be like the direct coach of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gets along with a lot of coaches. I don't think he's like totally insubordinate. He loved Alex Van Pelt, and Mike McCarthy got rid of him. Like, that's a bad judgment
decision. Or somebody got rid of him.
Well, somebody got rid of him, but it sounds like there was some type of disagreement with Van Pelt and McCarthy. Whatever. I guess we don't really truly know the specifics of that.
You can't have more than one associate head coaches that are total fucking losers.
Yeah. I mean, I also think there was some like disagreements over. Well, I think maybe the quarterback coach had the quarterback's back in the disagreements with the coach.
But also in the SI piece, it talked about, I think it was that Van Pelt didn't take an extension when it was offered because he wanted to see if he could get an OC offer. He didn't. And then at the end of that season, he was let go because it was last season and changes had to be made. And they just happened to make all the wrong ones, apparently.
Fair enough, right? But I guess we understand
the
value.
They got Ron Zook in there.
We understand the value of Aaron, like, having a good working relationship with someone. Because every time the Packers were successful, I would say that was the case. It was the case with Tom Clemens. It was the case with Alex Van Pelt. He had MVP seasons with both of his guys as his quarterback coach. Whether or not he would agree with Mike McCarthy on any of that stuff, there was always a good interpreter, right?
He had
there was
dominant always a seasons good, with Philbin.
Yeah, totally. And there was a lot of times with Philbin and Clemens on the same staff. And, like, there was a debate on who should take credit, yada, yada, yada. You have a 35-year-old who basically is kind of like a grumpy guy now, right? He seems like he enjoys football less. Your job needs to be to make him enjoy it a little bit more and make sure you squeeze every last ounce out of him. Because if you're the next coach, I almost feel like the next coach should want to have Aaron's buy-in and like talk to him beforehand and almost feel like if anyone has my back in this entire thing that I'm about to embark on, it needs to be that guy. Because if I have him, I'm good. He is the franchise. So, like, there's not a lot of examples of quarterbacks having a say, right? Probably not. Not in personnel moves, not in coaching hires, this and that. But I look at this as a special circumstance. And I look at this as, like, McCarthy couldn't gain Aaron's respect. Whoever the next guy is needs to have it. Otherwise, it's going to be a total waste. And, like, what are the next 4 years going to be?
So my sense is that you do not want Aaron to actually meet with this candidate beforehand. I don't think that sends the right message to Aaron, and I don't think that sends the right message to anybody else on the team or the franchise or the coach for that matter. Like, you don't want the coach to have to feel like he's beholden to one player for his season to work. Like, not just that he needs to get the most out of that player for the team to be successful, but that he's, like, actually beholden to his relationship to that player. Is, you know, his employment is contingent on him maintaining that relationship with that player. That said, I think that is implied. Like, any coach who interviews is going to have to talk about what he plans to do with Aaron Rodgers. And that is going to, I mean, so Aaron Rodgers is taken into consideration just because Aaron Rodgers is the Packers, is eating up however much of the salary cap. You know, like, if any coach doesn't come in and lead off with, like, their PowerPoint or whatever they do, being like, here's what I do to, like, earn Aaron Rodgers' trust, get him excited, get him going. Here's how we maximize his strengths. Here's how we minimize his weakness. Like, I don't think that person gets hired, whether or not Aaron is in the room, right? So Aaron is like,
I mean, I hope
Aaron is in this process. Not, and I think it's actually it would be a mistake to include Aaron in this process as a person rather than Aaron as like a specter looming in the background. Because I really do worry about a situation where too much consideration is given to a, you know, all-world quarterback at the end of his, you know, getting towards the end of his career. I've seen that show in Green Bay before, and it was shitty, and I don't want to go through it again.
I think Favre and Rodgers are different people, though. Like, Favre was kind of uncoachable, like, his whole career.
Yeah.
Like, Rodgers has, like, been like, I think Rodgers wants to be coached. I do. And he's said as much. Like, he's said things about other coaches, almost like having coaching envy.
And what about so that, like, says I'd want to decide who coaches me?
Well, don't you think it creates like a greater, like, even if you're not going to let him have a say, if, like, even if it's you know, for the optics of it, don't you think it creates buy-in from Rodgers? Like, if you involve him in the process and act like you care about what he says, rather than my door's open, like, yeah, your door's open to everybody. Like, anyone could come to you and say, like, oh, yeah, we should do this.
So you've been like, you've been making fun of Murphy's my door is open comment, and I think rightfully so. But did you see, I mean, Rodgers was asked similarly at his locker. He repeated the line, you know, that I know that their door is open. I do have conversations with Mark Murphy, with Brian Gutekunst. Do you think that he's blowing smoke or towing the company line?
I don't know. I mean, like,
because this is, it's not just should he be involved? Does he want, does he actually want to be involved? I don't know. I'm trying to, can we glean anything from what Aaron Rodgers has said?
So Gutekunst made it sound like it's like his response actually was like a little bit, at least he elaborated a little, and he said like being the starting quarterback of an NFL team is like a big responsibility. Like, we don't want to add responsibilities for Aaron, but just knowing his, like, observing his personality, I think that, yes, he would very much appreciate being involved to a degree. If you're going to hire a guy who's basically his job is to, like, try to win another Super Bowl before a 35-year-old for two consecutive seasons who's had serious injuries can't play football anymore at a high level. And also, like, he's, I keep going back to the Van Pelt thing. It's a position coach. I know it's a little bit different, but he went on Golic and Wingo specifically to voice his displeasure with not being consulted. So, like, he clearly wants to be involved in some of these things. Now, whether or not that's because McCarthy was the one who made that decision and he already didn't like him and already wanted him gone, I don't know. Like, maybe that's a different circumstance, but he's been pretty vocal about them not going to him about stuff.
Well, how about we don't compare Rodgers to Favre and we instead compare Rodgers to Tom Brady, who, by a lot of accounts, has not had a great impact on New England's organizational decisions over the last couple of years.
Yes.
Whether it's bringing in a total quack doctor and making players go to him.
No, yeah.
Or trading who is, like, obviously a very good NFL-quality quarterback to make him feel better. Like, I do not want Aaron Rodgers to be in that position. Like, and that's not because, and don't get me wrong, I think Aaron Rodgers is smarter than Tom Brady, too.
Yes, but definitely.
But, you know, Tom Brady is coachable. No one's ever had that complaint about him.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want that situation. It's not a situation that I think leads to good results. I care about the process. I mean, and this goes back to, I mean, I know I'm like kind of harping on my like imaginary what the Packers should be, like this ideal. But like, really, it should be an organization designed to win football games, whether or not Aaron Rodgers is hurt, whether or not Aaron Rodgers ever existed.
Right. So I guess the only, like, I get your point about Brady, and that's obviously, like, the thing I would point to because Belichick makes decisions, like, in spite of Brady.
Yeah.
And they clearly clash, and it still works, and they always win.
Yeah.
But the Packers are almost in too deep because they've been so, like, we talked about this a little bit last week. Then be competent enough and prove to Aaron that you can win without him having to be so great and him having to, like, make decisions for you. Because, like, the page, like, I think Tom Brady knows, and why it's probably easy for him to accept that he doesn't have a lot of say, that if they put Aaron Rodgers or a lot of other quarterbacks in there, they would still be having that success. I think Aaron knows if he weren't there, and we have proof of it, if he's not healthy, if he's not playing at, like, another worldly level, that team would be in shit for 10 years.
Bad team.
Like, they're just a bad team, and he knows that. So, like, I also think he's not trusting where Brady's default setting is probably like, man, like, these guys are great. I went down for a full season. They went 11-5 and made the fucking playoffs. Like, Aaron doesn't have that trust, which I don't blame him for because I don't have it either. Anyway, we'll see, right? I at the end of it, I think it's kind of like, I think they're going to hire someone that Aaron ends up liking, right? There's going to be buy-in.
I just don't think that there's ever a point where that isn't taken into account.
Sure.
Like you'd have to be a true idiot, right? Like you'd have to, if you're making Winston
just
Moss,
hire somebody
if you're
that
hiring
Aaron
Winston
hates.
Moss right now, like you have
they
no.
Just fire him. Like, what does he do on game day? Like, just fire him now. Screw it. What are you going off on Twitter for, man?
In terms of the my door is always open and the quarterback shouldn't have like all these things that are being said, I think are things that are being said because they think they are things you are supposed to say. And I don't think that we should be reading too much into it.
No, but it does. I mean, honestly, I think the SI article is almost the worst news that's come out. Like, that kind of weird organizational creep into like culture morass is something
gives me a bad feeling.
That actually worries me a lot, especially because I think that if anything, running a successful NFL team now seems to be keeping a bunch of people happy that actually play football and not keeping a bunch of people happy that don't play football. Like, don't worry about the happiness of the people who don't play football.
That was part of the Seahawks formula for a long time.
No, exactly. And they're still, I mean, I think we could have looked at this choice, you know, to kind of, I don't think Russell Wilson, like, was the decision to dismantle that defense, but I don't want to get too much into the weeds with that whole story and, like, the, you know, did they sell out the D for Russell? But, you know, even if they did, smart move, because apparently in the NFL, you don't need to play defense
no,
anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Rams, you look at the Chiefs, you look at the Saints, you look, like, these are all places where people seem to enjoy playing football.
Yeah.
They seem to, like what is going on in the organization.
Yeah, don't be policing fun. Like, no one wants to be a fan of the team that's pleasing fun.
I don't want
to
be a fan of
that. If Aaron Rodgers
puts
his hat on backwards on the sidelines, what are you going to say to him? Like, fuck you. Like, yeah. What are you going to be like, Aaron, no, that's not the Packer way.
Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, mustache, like, I don't know, man. I just don't
like the facial hair stuff?
I just
don't like
the
whole Yankees thing?
It.
Yeah, give me a break.
I feel like it wasn't even the hats thing. There was something else in that piece.
There was some weird stuff. Yeah,
especially
it's like, you're
this
right,
week.
It got totally clouded now because the firing is like, I forgot a lot of that stuff already.
Especially this past week, we've been reminded of all of the very legitimate things that the league and teams should be policing about their players.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Am I supposed to pat the Chiefs on the back for cutting Kareem Hunt
right
now when this thing happened in February?
I don't know.
Why do they have Tyreek Hill?
Exactly.
Hill too.
I honestly think that's why they cut Hunt.
So if a video comes out of Hill, and I don't want to get too deep into
it. It won't, because that was actual legitimate domestic violence, unlike a fight between two people who don't know each other, which everybody in the media just called domestic
violence.
Yeah,
that's true. I was wondering that today too. I was actually writing something.
That's been
read like,
something today about that.
Yeah. I was like, it's not domestic violence.
Like these people don't know each other. It's literally not in a house. These people have never been in a house together.
Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe we can, you know, fantasize about an ex-head coach, but I wanted to pose a question as we dive into this. So one, I think it's important to notice a couple of names that have continually been thrown around. Cliff Kingsbury, off the market.
Off the market.
USC, he's gone. He wanted to be in California. Two.
Not a bad idea.
Lincoln Riley. So, and he, the obvious direction you go there as the Oklahoma Sooners coach is to Baker Mayfield, which begs the question that I want to discuss briefly and get both of your guys' thoughts on. Is the Packers' job, we think, a very attractive one for the reason that, Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. If you're a young coach like Lincoln Riley, let's say, is the Packers' job a better job, given everything we've said about culture, about, you know, power structure, all that good stuff, than the Browns' job in actuality, given the fact that the Packers, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, may finish with a worse or equal record to the young Cleveland Browns, who seemingly have a young quarterback who wants to be coached, who has said as much and didn't like Hugh Jackson and is responding to coaching now, who also happened to play for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Like, if you're Lincoln Riley and you have two offers.
Better defense.
Yeah, and a better defense. And a very young core with a lot of draft capital. The Packers have that draft capital, too. The Browns also have a general manager. I think the Packers could have done well to hire a year earlier and have just gotten rid of Ted Thompson.
Ben Foley's skeptical of that.
I think if you're Lincoln Riley, the Browns' job might be better. I'm not sure.
If you're okay, let's say you're anyone. Like, what's a better job? I get maybe 4 years, 5 years of Aaron Rodgers.
I think they're about even, as long as the Browns can change directions so quickly,
yeah,
ownership wise, and they have multiple times. Like,
stability is a big concern.
They do not get a lot of rope, whether they use that rope to hang themselves or to lasso or what. They just, like, they don't get a long leash. The Packers, I think, traditionally as an organization, are a much more stable organization.
Yes.
You don't have to change the culture of losing, so to speak.
Now more than in the past, you have to worry about an executive who's kind of acting like an owner.
And
right.
This is why I've been kvetching about the Murphys. It's because I think the appeal of the Packers forever was, you want to go to a place where football is the most important thing and not some old rich white guy's ego? Go to Green Bay.
Which is why I think it's an interesting topic, because I think, you know, you go to the Browns, you presumably still report to John Dorsey, who's very much a football guy,
mm-hmm,
right? With the Packers, there's kind of this weirdness now where Murphy, in 2 years of a new structure, like, Ted Thompson was kind of forced to retire. They fire Mike McCarthy. Gutekunst still doesn't have a say over his own coach. And also, like, you're coming... you're coming into a scenario with the Packers where there's increased influence from Murphy, but also just ridiculously high expectations. Now, I'm not saying like a culture of losing is something you necessarily feel good about going into.
Yeah.
But the Browns are kind of this team now, especially with a quarterback, that have been talked about as like, well, they have all this talent, they just can't win. They have all this talent, they just can't win. The first guy to go there and win 10 games is like coach of the year, like big extension. Like he's going to be a hero. Like
yeah, Mike McCarthy.
If you, yeah, no, it very well may be. And there's already been like rumored interest.
I mean, I would put a little, pump the brakes a little on Baker Mayfield. Not that I don't think he's going to be a very good quarterback, but I don't know that he's going to be better than Josh Rosen. And I don't know that the Cardinals are not ultimately the better bet in the long term. You know, I think we've seen a lot that lately, I mean, you look at Jameis Winston, you look at Marcus Mariota, like sometimes these rookie QBs come in, they look like they're the real deal. And then, you know, it takes years to kind of work that out. Carson Wentz, like, I'm just saying, like, if you gave me heads up, choice of coaching Aaron Rodgers and banking my, you know, future earning potential on that, or, you know, 4 and 5 games of good Baker Mayfield, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I just think like it would be interesting to see if there's anyone, like if the Browns end up with a better or more, what we view as a more attractive coach, I think it'll be a reality check for a lot of us. But if someone is like, you know what, I'd rather bank on the next decade of Baker Mayfield and feeling like I can go in with a young guy who's hungry rather than, I don't know, you know, three, four, five, who knows how many years of Aaron Rodgers, who some people think got his last coach fired. Like,
yeah,
there's reason to think that this job isn't as attractive as everybody views it because Aaron Rodgers is
my sense of the Packers' dysfunctionality has never been higher. That's not true. It was probably higher in the Favre, the whole Favre thing. But yeah, even that, at least there was like a plan and a steady hand on the tiller. And right now, you can't even tell whose hand is on the tiller.
Yeah,
that's not great.
That being said, I just use Lincoln Riley as an example. Is there a guy we should be zoning in on right now? Are we still on Team Pettin?
Probably, but I don't know who it is. Higher? I mean, I do think that I would still like Pettin just because he seems to have the respect of everybody in the building and could pick somebody who, you know, comes in only to work on the offense with a very clear mandate to kind of be on Rodgers' side, maybe advocate for him vis-a-vis Pettin. I think right now the thing I care most about is like Winston Moss gets out. I don't know why, but like I've never liked the guy. Like, I don't like the way he talks to the media.
As long as we retain Ron Zook, I'm good to go.
And like, I've never looked at his Twitter before today, but to see a bunch of Joel Osteen stuff, like, does not speak well. So, Winston Moss out. Quicker than Ron Zook.
That's not a hot take.
Are you on Team McDaniels?
No.
No?
No.
Why? What boxes does he not check for you? I'm not necessarily on Team McDaniels either.
He's on the team that he was going to sign with a team last season and then screwed them over in the 11th hour. Like, that's not a guy.
He also won in Denver. If there is a lot of people think if there's a Belichick assistant that will succeed elsewhere, he'll be like the only one.
But what
he checks the box
that,
of like demanding respect when he walks in, I think.
Why wouldn't he, like, by all accounts, they've kind of handed him the keys to the Pats. Like, why would he?
Yeah. Well, that's like kind of one of those reality checks where you think like, oh, we're an attractive job. And he's like, I could stay the offensive coordinator and presumably be promoted to head coach the second Belichick gets tired of winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, and hopefully keep everything in place in New England.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like sad if they hire Josh McDaniels. I just like, I find it a little hard to believe that that's the next move for him. I do think there'd probably be buy-in from Aaron as a guy who is close to Tom Brady, like Aaron is. And who has to at least respect the culture.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers would like have fun in that kind of offense though? Like, do you think that would be what keeps him, what gets him to buy in?
I mean, I think at some point his body is going to force him to buy into a system like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Which,
I don't know.
That could be coming. Although he's still pretty mobile when healthy.
Yeah, like, exactly. I'm not convinced that that's like, I'm not convinced that creating that offense for Aaron is what like gets him to buy in.
Yeah. Last thing I had, do you draft a quarterback soon? Like, as we're very clearly entering, like, the next era of the post-Thompson-McCarthy era. Like, that doesn't mean, like, you know, when you came in and you had Favre, and they still went to an NFC championship, but, oh, yeah, they also drafted a guy, like, right away, just to know.
You mean
like,
Brian
Brom?
Well, at the very least, I mean, they don't really have a backup that's worth, would they have?
Kaiser's fine. I think if
Is he?
He's fine. He's not. You know, could he be Chase Daniel? Sure.
Like, if you're the next coach,
I think if you come to a point in the draft after the third round where there's good quarterback value on the board, you take it.
I think at this point...
If you're going to take a punter in the fifth, you can take a quarterback in the fourth.
Yes. Agreed. I think you're at a point soon. And again, I still think there's plenty of good Aaron Rodgers left, and I am very much like team, like, keep Aaron happy. But like new GM, new head coach, presumably new offensive coordinator, you may want in your back pocket like that next guy.
Yeah,
like, the McCarthy's beginning was, okay, yeah, I'm here. I've got Brett Favre, and he's still going to start by every measure, and we're going to win with him.
Yeah.
But everything I'm doing today, I'm like allocating a little bit of time to my backup that I know is going to be the guy that's going to be like the reason I stay here and get a contract extension.
Yeah, but I mean, I think until the chips are down, you don't know who that guy is going to be.
Yeah,
so I think taking as many shots as you can in the years that you have leading up to that is a good strategy. Like, you should never bank that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's knee preseason, you know, like you don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's exciting at the very least. Like, it was a crap season and it led to this, and
it's going to be a fun off season.
More wild speculation to come.
Yeah. Like, we're weeks away from knowing the next head coach. The Packers will be like right there on Black Monday to start interviewing all these guys who get fired and all that good stuff. So it'll be fun to follow. All right. I think we hit everything, right? Oh, you got a quick update on the Pick'em League. Who's winning that thing? At this juncture in the season with just a couple of weeks remaining.
I do have an update. Nick Varley basically hasn't left first place in about 2 months, I want to say. So he's been holding it down as well as Kyle Clifton in second place. They're battling it out, and
they should be the coach.
I'm in third place. Lauren Summers in fourth. Victor from Brazil is in fifth place. Last year's winner. He's hot on our tails. APC contributor Mike Veith. Christian, Sean, Chris, Aaron, Mitch, the list goes on and on. That is your update.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Get at the show at the APC Pod on Twitter and at theapcpodcast@gmail.com. And you can get at us at all of our names. Alex, Ben, Zach. There's last names in there, too.
Yep.
You guys are the drill. Just look at your screen. Anyway, we'll talk next week. More coaching news. And, oh, by the way, if you're going to gamble on a Packers game this year, Jamie Ross says that this coming Sunday against the Falcons is the game to do it.
A couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, that's looking really good. And then we're heading into the game like, oh, that's a risky proposition. Yep.
The Falcons are also bad, though.
Yeah, but so are the Cardinals.
Bad. Yeah.
That's true.
We also have an interim head coach now.
You don't think there's a dead cat bounce?
We'll also, two other things.
I do think that.
From the tarot reading, youth seeking leadership and seminal moment late in the season. I think we just got both of those things. Just saying.
The guy knows.
See you next week. So raise your glasses high, and then you chuckle up until the...
Hey everybody, it's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bone. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.